Take your Bible tonight and turn to Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter 2. Boys and girls, make sure you sit real still. It's not talking or playing time. Ruth chapter 2. Once you find Ruth chapter 2, find verse number 7. Ruth chapter 2. I want you to find verse number 7. Then if you would stand with me, please. I'll read some verses to you. I'll read them out loud, and then you can just follow along. Ruth chapter 2, starting with verse number 7. Ruth chapter 2, starting with verse 7, and I'm going to read through verse number 10. I'll refer to other verses in this book and these chapters, but this will get us started. Ruth 2:7, it says, "And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us to learn something. Help us to be challenged. May we be drawn up closer to the Word of God as a result of this evening's sermon. Oh, God, make the teaching simple, but might it just do something inside us that multiplies our success in life, especially in the Christian part of our life, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I'm going to tell you a story real quickly, and I'll come back, and I'm going to talk to you a little more about this thing, about this man named Moab, and or the place called Moab, and the lady named Ruth, and Boaz. When I was a kid, they used to, I don't know if you call it pop, or you want to call it soda, or you want to call it cola or Coke. What do you call it? Holy water. Yeah. All right. Well, we drank pop growing up, but there was something that they did, and some of you will remember, they used to put it in a pop bottle. Now it'll come in a can sometimes, and now a plastic bottle, but they used to be glass bottles. And I pretty well had figured out that I could become a multimillionaire by gathering pop bottles, and then I would take them back to the filling station or the gas station or to a store, and they would give me some money. I think a bottle of pop would cost you 25 cents, and you could get a nickel sometimes. And I think it started out, Brother Nofsinger, back when way back, they probably gave you a penny a bottle. Back when, you know, Noah brought the Pepsi over on the ark, but then for a while I would get a nickel a bottle, and I remember when it all got wound up, I'd get 10 cents for a bottle. And I had some places where I could find pop bottles. There are places you find more pop bottles than other places, and I'd learn how to do this, and boy, if I needed money, I'd go out looking for pop bottles. And my brother decided he wanted to get involved. See, seeing how lucrative of a business this had turned into for me. And so I remember, and I don't remember doing this willingly. I remember my mother saying, "You're going to take your brother." And so I took my brother out, and we were hunting for pop bottles. Now, I got to tell you, at first, I did not give him a good area to look for pop bottles. I said, "Now you look right along the railroad tracks right there, and I'll be over here on the road in the ditch." And I remember as we would go hunting, I'd take my little brother, and the truth is, he did at first. He got less productive places, and I took the real productive places where I knew those bottles were. And I got to feeling bad, and I realized, well, you know, he if he doesn't find some pop bottles, he's going to get discouraged. And so there were times when I would give him one of the better places to find pop bottles, and he started finding a few so he could take them down and get his nickel or get 10 cents out of them. And then as I got better at this, I even realized if he and I worked together, we could get more done. And so there were actually even times when we might be walking up the street or the alley, and I would walk right past a pop bottle. and let him find it because I wanted to keep him encouraged. And he would say, look at this one. I found one. I, you know, in my brain, I said, you dumb little brother. I left that there for you, but you got it. And so we got to, he got to prosper, as a part of that. It's still, I do this, but I have Mrs. Owens do it on the weekends to help pay for gas for our car, and she's pretty good at it. But it's something that I did when I was growing up, and I was thinking about it the other day when I was thinking about this sermon. Now, let me tell you a little story. Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons lived in a place called Bethlehem. A famine had come to their land. They fled to Moab. It was a backslidden decision. They went from Bethlehem, which was called the House of Bread, into Moab and found there was a famine going on, and they left one place and went to another place. And to be honest with you, they went down in their decision. They made a bad decision. So they left Bethlehem and they went down into Moab. And while they were there, terrible thing happened. While in Moab, Elimelech, the dad, died. And Naomi's two sons both die. And that's a warning. Keep your family in the will of God. Keep your family in the place where they will be blessed. Well, there was one daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth. And many years later, Naomi is going to leave Moab. She's going to go back to Bethlehem. And this daughter named Ruth is 10 years later is going to return with her. When Ruth arrives in Bethlehem, she's poor. Her husband had died. They had been in a distant land. They packed up everything and they left and they go back to Bethlehem. So when Ruth ends up back in Bethlehem, she's poor. She's needy. Since she is poor and needy, the farmers in an area, they did something that would help poor people. When they would harvest, they might not harvest the crops on the outside edge of a field. Or when they were harvesting, they would race through a field, and every once in a while, there were bits and pieces of the harvest that would get left in the field. And it was made so that poor people could come out and harvest around the outside edges. Or they could walk through a field and find something that had been left behind by the people doing the main part of the harvest. It's called gleaning. It's called gleaning. Since Ruth is poor, she now will need to glean to gather food. And that is, after the main people that run the farm have harvested, she can go to the outer edges of the field and gather some crops that were left over, or the main part of the field if they drop some stuff along the way. So gleaning is when someone would go into the field on their own after the harvest and pick up leftovers. Ruth gleans in the field of a man by the name of Boaz, B-O-A-Z. Boaz is considered her kinsman redeemer. I'm not going to go into that, but it says in Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Boaz, really in this story, he pictures Jesus. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. And Ruth pictures you and me. We're poor, we're needy, and we ought to be hungry Christians. Every one of us ought to be hungry for something from God. The gleaning harvest of food pictures the Word of God. So you've got Jesus, the guy named Boaz that owns the field. You've got Ruth, the hungry person. Then you've got the food, if you will, that pictures the Word of God. You say, why does it picture the Word of God? Well, in John 6:48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus was the walking Word of God. In John 6:50, it said, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So, this story is about how Ruth, on her own, went into the field and gathered food to keep herself alive. Or a Christian goes where there is bread and gathers bread to keep themselves spiritually strong and alive. Folks, I have to tell you something. You need more Bible than what you get three times a week at church. Now, here's what happens. I believe we get a lot of Bible around here. I mean, you go to King's Kids, you get the Bible. You go to Flyers Club, you get the Bible. You go to Youth Ablaze, you get the Bible. You go to Sunday school class, you get the Bible. You come to Sunday morning church, you get the Bible. You come to Sunday night church, you get the Bible. You come to Wednesday night church, you get the Bible. You'll go to choir and you'll get some Bible. You come to bus meeting and you'll get some Bible. I mean, Bible, 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 Bible. It's all over the place. But God wants you to glean. Maybe to some degree there is a primary harvest of the Bible when you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But God said, I need you to have more strength and more Bible than just what you get at church. And so, this story is about Ruth on her own gathering food to keep herself strong, which pictures the Christian gathering food for themselves on their own so that they can stay spiritually strong. I suppose in sermons I've told the following story 20 times, but it's worth telling again. Someone that had been Catholic all of their life was won to Jesus Christ. They got saved. And when they got saved, the person that won them to Christ said, now, you need to get you a King James Bible and you need to start reading the Bible for yourself. And the freshly saved Catholic person said, we don't really do that a lot in the Catholic Church. The priest gives us the Word of God. Well, they got saved and their priest came by and ended up visiting with this newly saved person. And the priest said, what do you have there? And they said, well, this is my Bible. And the priest said, well, what are you doing with it? And this newly saved person said, well, I'm reading it every day. And the Catholic priest said, no, you don't need to understand. That's the milk. And the priest said, I'm the milkman. I'll provide you with the milk that you need. And you know what this young Christian said? Said, well, sir, I just done went and got me my own cow. And folks, we want to fill your cup with milk around here. But y'all, you have your own cow. You have a Bible. And what you get at church, it's not enough. It's not. Some of you say, well, preacher, I'm getting more Bible than what I've ever gotten in my life. I know. But God wants us to get into the Word of God on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday. Let's learn from Ruth how to go to the field of Jesus and gather the Word of God that will help keep us spiritually strong. Stay with me. The sermon's not complicated, but we're gonna look at Ruth and how she gleaned. In other words, on her own, she was harvesting food from the field. And we want to see what she did that caused her to be successful in her gleaning. For instance, she had a desire to glean. She had a desire to glean. In Ruth chapter 2, verse number 2, it says, Ruth said, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. Notice she said, let me. She wanted it. The Christian should have a desire to glean in God's field. The Christian should want to learn the Bible. The Christian should want to gather from the Word of God to help their life. Hey, are you hungry? Now, folks, when we're hungry physically, oh my, what we'll do. Brother Tom and I, we tease. If we get home on Sunday, and it's a long process from when we get home and when we can eat, we go yank open a bag of chips to keep ourselves alive until we can get to the main course. And oh, about once a month, he'll send me a text, and it says, it's a chip day, preacher, pray for me. It's a chip day. hey, when we are physically hungry, we're hungry. We want it. And boy, we'll stop and get something that's bad for us, or we'll eat a whole lot of something we ought not be eating, because when we're hungry, we're hungry. Folks, Ruth, she said, let me go to that field. Let me go get that food. And remember, that food pictures the bread of the Word of God. You and I, we ought to be hungry for the Word of God. She had a desire to glean. Do you want to learn the Bible? Do you want to study His Word? Ruth is virtually begging for that opportunity. So remember, gleaning was when she was not a part of what we call the main harvest. This is Ruth, on her own, going to get something from the Word of God. Now, everybody in here, tomorrow, you need to glean in the Word of God. You need to say, tomorrow, I'm going to get something from the Bible tomorrow. Not just on Sunday, on Monday. And I'll try to get something from the Bible on Tuesday. She had that desire. Secondly, I think Ruth gleaned in the right place. The right place. Listen to Ruth chapter 2, verse number 3. It says, "And she gleaned in the field after the reapers." The Christian should learn his Bible. And I believe this. I think if you will come to the right kind of a church where we are reaping the good things of God, you will go home on Monday and have a passion for the Word of God. You'll go home on Tuesday and have a passion for the Word of God. You get around someplace where there are reapers. And hey, listen, I really believe this. I believe God wants to make you a stronger Christian because you are a part of a church that wants to keep people out of hell. And God says, I want to give you the spiritual strength and the spiritual energy that you need to become a part of the workforce of a church that is reaping big time in the field. It's important. I think it's important to go to the right kind of a church. I would be saddened if I were stuck in a church where nobody ever got saved. I'd be sad about that. I'd be sad if I went to a church and they had revival once a year, and for 1 week they attempted to get people saved, and the other 51 weeks of the year they just let people go to hell. Hey, if you're in the right kind of church, then here's what you've done. You are gleaning in the right place. You've got yourself in a situation where that gleaning can be prosperous. I think our church is a harvest field. And I think harvest field produces greater gleanings. Look, if you go to a field where there's no harvest, what's there to glean? You understand? If you go to a field and it's empty, what's there to glean? We are a church of harvest. And then you get to glean thereafter. So, I think this. I think she had a desire to glean. I think she put herself in the right place where gleaning was possible. Then the third thing I see, and this is so important, Ruth kept on gleaning. She kept gleaning. In Ruth chapter 2, verse number 7, it uses these words, "She hath continued." Let me read it to you. It says, "And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now." You know what that means? She continued. In other words, she just didn't glean once and then give up. She kept on gleaning. Now, listen, there's many of you, you've been challenged about reading the Word of God before. There's some of you, you promised God you were going to read your Bible all the way through. And, you know, you got through the end of Genesis and you gave up. Let me tell you something. Don't give up. Keep on gleaning. And this gleaning, this is what you're doing outside of church. This is Ruth gleaned. In other words, hey, she on her own went after this spiritual food that would make her strong. You have to go after that on your own. And you have to keep going after it. Christians should live in the Word of God. She continued to glean. Sometimes it's sad, but sometimes young Christians are more hungry for the Word of God and then maybe some of your older Christians. Let me say to every Christian that's been saved for a long time in here, you're not a finished product yet. You don't know enough about the Bible. You're not cleaned up enough. You're not changed to be like Jesus enough. Keep reading your Bible. You say, I've read through it many, many times. I just don't see anything of need. Bring your Bible by my office and you and I could read. I could show you a couple of verses I know you need to hear. If you're wondering why you're coming up short, just come by and see me. I can give you some verses. I've got one called Pride Goeth Before Destruction and a Haughty Spirit Before a Fall. And trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I can give you so many verses, you won't know what to do with them all. But she kept gleaning. So this thing of you and I reading our Bible away from church on a daily basis, we do that all the way till we get to heaven. So she kept gleaning. So she had a desire to glean. She gleaned in the right places. She kept gleaning. And then, I love this, she gleaned all day long. You say, well, preacher, I can't read my Bible all day long. I know, but let me, first of all, Ruth 2:7, it says, even from the morning until now. You know what that means? She got up in the morning and started her day with the influence of the Word of God. And then all day long, she kept thinking about the Word of God. And if she got a chance, she wasn't afraid to open her Bible up in the middle of the day or at the end of the day. Christians are to live by the guidance of the Bible all day long. The Christian should stay in the Word of God. Hey, which might mean this. Sometimes you get up in the Bible in the morning and you read your Bible some. Why don't you think about what you read all day long? Think about it all day long. Those of you, you young people, you go to a public school. I challenge you to take your Bible to school with you. And at lunch, pull your Bible out and read it. And you say, well, they won't let me bring my Bible to school. They can't stop you from bringing your Bible to school. They cannot stop you. I went to a public school. It was a public high school. I took my Bible to school. From the day I got saved, I took my Bible to school every day until I got out of high school. And at lunch, I'd read my Bible. I needed it. The reason why some of you that go to the public school have such a mess in your life is because you're not reading your Bible. You're not gleaning. You come to church and hear the preacher preach. That's not enough. You need more of the Word of God. Don't be afraid of it. Those of you that go to work, don't be afraid to take your Bible to work. I worked in machine shops for years in factories. I took my Bible in and I laid my Bible right on top of my toolbox. I wasn't ashamed of it. And at lunchtime, you know something? We had only so much room at the lunch tables. Can I tell you how to get a seat and plenty of elbow room at the lunch table? Take your Bible and set it down there while you're eating your lunch. There are people that you can have a whole table to yourself. It's no problem. But folks, the reason why some of you struggle, you come to church Sunday morning, you come to church Sunday night, you come to church Wednesday night, but what about the Bible on Monday? And the Bible on Tuesday? And the Bible on Thursday or Friday and Saturday. And I'm not telling you you got to read 4 hours a day, though it wouldn't kill you. But I am telling you, you need to do what Ruth did. Ruth, she was after this thing, and she gleaned in the morning, and then she gleaned in the afternoon. She kept it going. She gleaned throughout the day. Not only that, number five, Ruth was admonished not to glean in the wrong field or in another field. In Ruth chapter 2, verse number 8, Boaz said, go not to glean in another field. Go not. This field was all she needed. She didn't need anything else. And listen, you say, well what would this be about? I want to give you a warning. If I was told there was a field where I could find pure grain or pure corn, and it was clean, and as far as food was concerned, it was as near perfect as you could get. That's the field from which I would glean. But I'll tell you this. I wouldn't want to glean from a field that was contaminated. The King James Bible is the field from which you should glean. I wouldn't look for another. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You see, this is our God-breathed book. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You've got a Bible. Now, glean from the pure place. Go to the pure field. See, folks, you'll hear preachers, this is how they mask what they stand for. The only Bible I preach from is the King James Bible. And then they study from all the others. Now, just so you understand me, I don't have any of the others, don't want any of the others, never study any of the others. The only time I've ever looked at any of the others is when I was hammering them for all the lies that are in them. I don't use them as reference. They're not go-to. I don't go to poison to try to figure out the cure. I go to purity to promote purity. So, now Ruth, she had a desire to glean. She gleaned in the right places. She kept gleaning. She gleaned all day. She was admonished to stay in the good field. Then, she was allowed to begin to glean among the sheaves. Now, remember when I first started the explanation, I told you a farmer would go in and they would harvest the main part of the field, but they would leave some crops around the outside edge. Well, that's where Ruth had to go to glean. She gleaned on the outside edge. Now, in Ruth chapter 2, verse number 15, the second part of the verse, it says, Boaz, and that's the man that owned the field, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. You see, now what's happening? Well, she was willing to get what she could around the outside edge, but now her kinsman redeemer said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you get into the good stuff. See, she'd been going to the outside edge and getting what little bit was left over, and now somebody that loved her, that seen that she was willing to work at this, and she was willing to do it all day, and she wasn't afraid to throw herself into it, now he said, you know what? You don't have to go around the outside edge. Get right in there with some of the people that are doing the main harvest, and I'll let you get some harvest from right in there. We're talking about where all that neat, the crops were. The crops that they were gathering for the farm. Listen, I'll make you a promise, folks. If you'll work at it, and you work at it, you go home on Monday and you read your Bible some, and you go home on Tuesday and you study your Bible on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I didn't count, Sunday and Wednesday because we come to church. But you go on those other days and you might feel like, well, you know, preacher, I go home and I get a little bit here from the Bible and a little bit there from the Bible. And, you know, I don't seem to get a lot. I get a whole bunch on Sunday and a whole bunch on Wednesday when I come to church. I'm going to make you a promise. You keep gathering a little. And God's going to say, you know what? I think they mean business. I'm going to make it so they start some big harvest in their life. I'll start showing them some things. I'm going to let them get in on some of the main harvest. Now Ruth can glean among the sheaves. No longer does she have to take the leftovers or glean from the outer edge of the field. Now the whole field is beginning to open up to her. And I promise you, when a Christian keeps on gleaning and keeps gleaning and keeps gleaning, God soon opens up to the Bible to him or to her to some truths that they wouldn't normally notice. If you will stay in your Bible, God will give you some wonderful truth. Truth from the Bible. Hey, did you know that truth from the Bible is not just for the preacher? It's for everybody. And there's some of you say, I read it, and I read it on Monday, and I read it on Tuesday, and I read it on Thursday, I read it on Friday, I read it on Saturday. But when I get here on Sunday, whoa, we have a good time in the Word of God. You know what? You can have a good time in the Word of God on Monday. Do you know when I got your good time Sunday message? I got it on Monday. And on Tuesday. And on Thursday. And on Friday. And on Saturday. You can have a good time every day. You say, boy, wasn't it great at church the other day? Well, you got the same book that everybody else has. And what happened to Ruth? She started out scrapping for every little bit she could get, and she tried, and maybe she didn't do real well, but her consistency paid off. Now she's not just reaping on the outer edge of the field. She's right in the field. And now she's seeing a bigger harvest. Stay with it. Number 7. Ruth then got some things that they called handfuls on purpose. Handfuls on purpose. Let me read it to you. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose for her. Let me explain it. When Boaz seen that she was willing to scrap for a little bit on the outside edge, and he said, you know what, I'm going to give you a real good break. I'll let you go out and harvest with my people. And as she stepped up even more, then Boaz said, those of you doing the harvest, I just want you to start leaving piles of grain around for her. Fill her basket. Fill it up. Make it look accidental. But let's let her get a truckload. And I believe that's the way the Lord is. You start out and you're a little bit of a scrapper. And you're reading it, just trying to get something out of it. But you do it consistently enough. And before long, you say, I've been harvesting some truth here. I found some things that would change my life that would help me. And God says, I like this. Let's bait this thing up real good. Just start leaving grain and start leaving truth and start leaving good things all over the place. And before long, you're just running through a field like a kid in a candy factory. Say, look at all this. Woohoo! Look at that. Did you see that? Did you read that? Did you see what God did? I love watching people grow. I love watching people grow. I've watched people that sat in this auditorium tonight who came to church. The first time they came, they didn't have a Bible at all. Then before long, they got a Bible, but it was the wrong one. Then I watched them purify and get a right Bible. Then I found out that they began to read it, but couldn't understand a lick of what they were reading. Then before long, they began to understand, and they say, you know what? I just read that the other day. It is in the Bible. Then, before long, I've watched people in this room go through this process. They're standing outside my office. They say, preacher, you got a moment? They come in, pop their Bible down, and say, I was reading this. Did you know that this means right here? It means this right here, because I looked it up, and I'm thinking, I think they're getting it. Amen. You scrap a little bit. You get into the harvest, and before long, God's just laying things on you. You're saying, wow, that's in the Bible. God can give you truth. And God gave Ruth some handfuls on purpose. Hey, when was the last time you called a friend to tell them about your new discovery in your spiritual life that you found in the Bible? When's the last time on Facebook you used a Bible verse and told somebody a truth? Or is it all just common, wasteful conversation? I believe Ruth got some handfuls on purpose from God. Not only that, number 8. Ruth, she beat out what she gleaned. She beat it out. Let me explain. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 17, it says, so she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that which she gleaned. The beat out. That's a process of making it more usable. Did you know you can go out and pick an ear of corn, but I'd shuck it before you eat it? That's making it more usable. When you gather wheat, you have to sift the wheat to get the dust and all the bits and pieces that you don't want. Okay, when you eat a fish, you take the scales off. I'd recommend that. Now, I can't take Mrs. Owens anywhere and give her fish if the head is still on there. She says, I just don't like eyeballs looking at me while I eat it. So, when the food, it doesn't always start out exactly the way we would like it. Now, let me tell you what she did. She beat out the wheat. You say, what does that mean? She put it through a process and she made sure it was usable. God wants us, when we have gleaned from His Word, to meditate on it and get everything out of it that we possibly can. See, here's what you do. Sometimes you go and you read the Bible, and because you don't understand it immediately, you say, oh, fooey on that verse. Well, wait a minute. What would be wrong with reading that verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times? What would be wrong with going through the day? What would be wrong with memorizing that verse and actually wanting to understand it? You all understand what a cow does when it goes out and eats grass? A cow goes out and it'll eat some grass. It'll chew it up. It'll swallow it. And a little later on, it'll barf it up, chew it a little more, and then swallow it. And a little later on, some of you ladies are saying, well, that's what I do with my tobacco all the time. What's the big deal? But a little later on, that cow will choke that thing up and chew it some more and get some more out of it. You and I are to chew on the Word of God like that. Chew on it for a little while. Let it set. Think about it. Later on, chew on it a little bit more. And then let it set. And then chew on it some more. Don't let what you get just affect you for a moment. Want it to affect your day, your week, your life. Concentrate on the Word of God. Let it really affect your thinking. Absorb it. Want it. The Bible says, when she was gleaning, she beat out her gleanings. What did that mean? She wanted to get something out of it. She's going to make it useful. So, Ruth, in this gleaning process, she desired to glean. She gleaned in the right place. She kept gleaning. She was willing to glean in the morning and in the afternoon and the evening. She was told, stay in a pure field when you glean. Glean, it got to the point where when she was gleaning on the outside edge, they said, you mean business, we'll put you right in the main harvest, and you can get in there and get some of the sheaves. Then they started leaving handfuls on purpose, and she said, I'll squeeze everything out of this that I possibly can. Now, in case you're wondering, there's just two more points and we'll be done. Number nine, it was obvious that Ruth had been gleaning. It was obvious. You say obvious too, to others. She had been gleaning. In Ruth chapter 2, verse number 18, it says, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. In other words, she had been gleaning, and her family said, you've been gleaning. Friends said, you've been gleaning. Hey, when she came home, there was no doubt there was barley in her hair. She smelled like barley, not the kind you use for Budweiser. She smelled like barley. There was barley in her shoes and on her clothing. She'd been gleaning. And look, her mother-in-law said, well, let me put it so we understand it. You've been in the Word of God. I can tell. It's affecting you. You know, folks, when you and I are in the Word of God, I think it will become obvious. Every husband here, your wife ought to be able to notice that you love the Word of God and that you've been in the Word of God. Every wife here, your husband ought to know that you love the Word of God. Every mom here, I'm going to give you a good child-rearing tool. Let your kids see you read the Bible. I promise you, when my kids were growing up, their daddy was up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and knew I'd spent 3 to 4 hours praying and in my Bible and preparing for my day when my kids were growing up. My wife could tell you, up very early, an hour upon hour, trying to gather something from the Word of God. I'm not saying we do it to get the attention, but if you do it, it will be obvious to people that you have been in the Word of God. And it ought to be that way. Look, the Word of God will change you. And those changes ought to be recognizable by the people around us. So, it was obvious that Ruth had been gleaning. I think I would be embarrassed if you brought people to our church and the people that sat out there said, your pastor, he didn't know a thing about the Bible. Your pastor obviously doesn't know anything about the Bible. You can tell just by the way he speaks. I would like to keep from embarrassing you. I'd like to at least give enough of the Word of God out when I preach that someone might say, well, at least he knows a little bit about it. But you know, you ought to know something about it too. But it was obvious that Ruth had been gleaning. Then, last thing I'll say, Ruth was actually asked, from where have you been gleaning? The question came up. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 19, this is the question that was asked her. Where hast thou gleaned today? Let me ask you a question. Christian, where in the Bible did you read today? Where did you read yesterday? Where hast thou gleaned on Saturday? Wonder if I called everybody tomorrow and I said, hey, just call to see. What'd you read in the Bible today? You say, oh, preacher, don't call. Say, good thing we got caller ID. Tomorrow I'm not answering my phone. I'll tell you my battery was dead. Hey, listen. The question was actually asked, where hast thou gleaned today? What book of the Bible have you eaten from this week? Where did you get a truth this week? See, she gleaned. And it was obvious that she gleaned. even to the point that somebody asked, from where you've been gleaning? And what is gleaning? Gleaning is someone on their own going to the food source to get strength for their day. Let me tell you this also. A good gleaner takes care of other people. A good gleaner. Someone that gleans well, they gather food. Guess what? They've got some food to pass around. They've got some food to share. I don't want to embarrass him, but Brother Dave and I, every once in a while, we'll meet. I love it, Dave. I've never told you this. He'll walk into my office and he'll say, Pastor, he'll pull out a card or something and said, my verse for today. And he'll give me the verse that he's memorizing or that he's studying for the day. I love that. Gleaning. And that's not on Sunday. It's not on Wednesday. Not when we have a church service. I'm talking about on a Thursday. I'm talking about Thursday at 11 o'clock in the morning. Because Dave doesn't usually have 8 o'clock appointments. He's not up until 10. But I wonder how many times he's walked in, pulled out a card and said, this is a verse. That's my verse for today. I love this verse right here. I like that. Folks, you and I, on our own, need to go to the field of the Word of God. We need to be gleaning. You say, but I feel like I'm just pecking around the outside edge. You keep pecking around the outside edge because there'll come a moment when God's going to get you in the main harvest and He's going to enjoy it so much He'll just start leaving handfuls on purpose. It won't be long until you'll be growing and somebody's going to say to you, I can tell you've been in the Word of God. Where have you been studying your Bible today? Matter of fact, teach me. And the way you have something to teach is that you glean so you have food to offer everybody else. Dads, it's part of child rearing. Moms, part of child rearing. Hey, Sunday school teachers, glean. Teach on overflow. I have to tell you, my Sunday school class, we start, and I'm watching that clock, and I'm thinking, I'm halfway through this lesson, and I've got to stop. You say, well, Pastor, it only takes me 10 minutes to teach mine. You're not gleaning. Get ready on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. And boy, when it comes teaching time, you're going to say, I have so much to say. I do not know how I'm going to say it all. I've gathered so much bread, I don't know what we're going to do with it all. A couple of you could help me with that, I'm sure. I call the sermon, Gleaning Properly. We learn from Ruth how on our own to go and get something from the harvest that's available from the bread of the Word of God. I hope you'll do it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we welcome you to the Savior. You ought to get born again. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I promise you. Then, let me say this. If you're a Christian, get into your Bible. Oh, dig in on Monday. Not just Sunday. Dig in on Tuesday. Thursday. Hey, some of you, every once in a while, you have to work. You have to work on a Wednesday night. Or you have to work. Let me tell you something. You may have to work, but that doesn't have to keep you away from the Word of God. Glean, 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 and you'll grow. Who here would say, Preacher, I needed this sermon tonight. I need to be challenged about this thing of gleaning. I need to get in to my Bible on my own and get some things to strengthen me spiritually. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? You may put that hand down. We're going to have an altar call. Maybe you ought to come up here and just get on your knees and say, Lord, help me. I'm going to get into my Bible more often and more thoroughly. I want to glean. I don't want to just get fed at church. I want fed every day. Every day. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you needed a moment at the altar, you come. Some of you used to get into your Bible far more than what you do. You need to get back into it. Hey, there's nothing wrong with reading someone in the morning and some in the afternoon, some in the evening. To be honest, I'm not going to tell you how to read it. I'm just going to tell you to read it. And remember, she had a desire. She was in the right place. She kept gleaning. She gleaned throughout the day. She was recommended not to go into the wrong field and get contaminated food. She gleaned, and then finally she started to part. She got into the main sheaves of the harvest. Then they started leaving just piles of food laying around for her. She beat out what she gleaned. She squeezed it for everything it was worth. She didn't minimize the Word of God in her life. She maximized it. Then someone said, "You've been gleaning." They could tell. It changed her. And not only that, she was asked, "Where have you been gleaning?" Where? In other words, they wanted to find out what she knew. That freshly saved, if you will, ex-Catholic said, "Sorry, Father, I got my own cow." And everybody in here can squeeze nutrition out of the Bible every day of the week. And that's what will make you a strong Christian. That would help some of you to get over some of your, you've got vices, you've got issues, things that seem to dominate in your life. I promise you, you start reading the Bible every day of the week, you'll start getting the spiritual strength you need to overcome some of those things. You begin to understand the separation issues of the Bible. You begin to understand the commands of God that are minimal to you but seem to be big to others. Get in the Word of God. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and be on our way in a matter of just a few minutes. Hey, and don't let a sermon like this affect you for a few minutes while you're sitting in the auditorium today. Tomorrow, get into your Bible. Tuesday, get into your Bible. You, on your own, get something from the Word of God. Thank you, Rachel.